Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love digging in the dirt and helping people with their gardens, and we can help you this morning too as well. Want to say a happy Valentine's Day to everyone, and then we're also celebrating President's Day on Monday. So this is a very, very historic year, 250th years of the United States. If you would like to experience it in a way you've never experienced it before, the Art and Bloom Garden Tours, we are doing a tour, a revolutionary garden tour, and we are going to the most iconic founding fathers and also American history, the revolutionary period of gardens and estates that are just beautiful. We are spending many days in beautiful, beautiful gardens. It's going to be a fun trip, and that starts in April. You can go to artinbloomgardentours.com to check all of our tours out. We are going to so many wonderful places this year, and I'd love to have you go with me because we just have a great time. We go out and geek out at gardens, and we love it. So I think it is time for the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is node, N-O-D-E. And I selected this word because we're doing a lot of pruning now. And with roses, it's important to understand what a node is. So a node is a vascular plant stem that is divided into nodes and internodes. Okay, so the stem all up and down has these little bumps and little outshoots that are called nodes and internodes. They are slightly swollen spots where leaves, branches, or flowers grow. They contain tissue with dividing cells that form new plant parts. Each node also has a dormant bud just above the leaf attachment. So the internode is part of the stem between two nodes, and it's responsible for plant elongation, the height. Unlike nodes, it lacks tissue, so pruning here results in a non-productive stub and little regrowth. The effective growth promotion involves making pruning cuts just above a node, which triggers lateral bud development out to the sides and directs energy to new branches. This technique efficiently encourages desired regrowth. Cutting above a plant node disrupts apical dominance by removing the stem tip. Without auxin, which is the causes it to grow, lateral buds beneath the cut are no longer suppressed, and they begin to grow into side shoots. Improper placement of the cuts can be detrimental. A cut made excessively above the node leaves a stub that eventually turns brown, dies back, and provides an entry point for pathogens and delays bud activation. Conversely, cutting too close to or below the node risks damaging essential tissue, potentially causing the bud to dry out and impair its capacity to spread. So proper pruning cuts are vital for plant recovery and growth. Use clean, sharp bypass pruners for smooth cuts, as ragged edges can and ragged surfaces can slow healing and increase disease risk. Okay, so it's very, very important when we do these nodes. So, so many times when we are cutting, and this is part of the issue with crepe myrtles and pruning them straight across, is that we are cutting off those points where the buds could grow out. And so you want to make sure that you're cutting it properly at the right location and cut it. Usually at a 45-degree angle is fine. It's not necessary for some plants, some ornamentals, but for your trees and for your larger shrubs, cutting the points diagonally, very trim and sharp, is going to have a healthier plant. So the dirty word of the day is node.
Nice.
There you go. And so I wanted to, the President's Day is Monday, so I wanted to give you these little tidbits so that you can discuss this weekend as you're touring the Greater Orlando Orchid Society's Orchid Sale and Hearts in Bloom at the Orlando Garden Club. So at Mount Vernon, George Washington's Virginia home, the president planted so many roses that it took 12 days each June to pick the petals, which his wife Martha distilled into rose water. And despite his reputation as an impassioned horticulturist, Thomas Jefferson actually scaled back the presidential gardens, an act he felt would reinforce his ideas about small government. He cut off more than 70 acres that were part of the presidential palace, designating the area as a more democratic public common. James Madison, on the other hand, he planted the first documented presidential vegetable garden. At the time, presidents paid the expenses of feeding guests out of their own pockets. And Madison's list of seeds to purchase included several varieties of cabbages and radishes, as well as carrots, beets, parsnips, broccoli, and more. John Quincy Adams, he had a thing for trees. In Baltimore, he picked up acorns from a white oak on the battleground at North Point, fought just after the White House had been burned, and he brought them back to the plant in his nursery. He collected chestnuts and elm samaras, planted them, and monitored their growth. Irvin Williams, he was the head gardener during the first Bush administration. He created inventive ways of keeping pests from entering the garden. He used fertilizer laced with Louisiana hot sauce that discouraged moles and voles, and baskets of Georgia peanuts were strapped to tree trunks to distract marauding squirrels from their precisely planted tulip bulbs. Squirrels, however, had long been welcome on the grounds. In the 1920s, one was so tame that the members of the press corps nicknamed him Pete. 60 years later, Ronald Reagan brought acorns from Camp David on a regular basis to feed the squirrels in the Rose Garden. So this hour is all about you, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you're welcome to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. It's going to be a lovely weekend. We're going to get a little bit of needed rain, and it's going to be dry through the week, so you can water once a week. And then next weekend, Tallahassee, Central Florida, we're going to get a little bit more rain then too, so just keep praying for rain. Let's go to David in Polk County. Good morning, David. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Can you help me?
I can.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. My neighbor has a large area of, I'm sure it wasn't that large when she started, but because they creep, but mother-in-law tongues.
Yes.
I don't know what the actual name for them is, but that's what I've always heard them called.
Yes.
And they got hit pretty hard by the freeze. They look horrible. What do I need to do to help her with those? Cut them down or what?
Okay, so one, they didn't get hit hard enough because they're still surviving. They are very invasive. They are on our invasive list, and hopefully they're not near a conservation area or something. But all you need to do, David, is cut them down to the ground, and they will reappear. They will be back.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Go
ahead.
I was afraid I might kill them if I did that.
No. Actually, that's why they're quite invasive. That people think they die from the weather, and then they throw them out in the compost pile or throw them out in the woods, and then they take over and push out our native plants. So they're not considered a good plant. I would only use them for containers and for indoor plants. They're nice that way, but never out in the yard. But, she's got them. They're going to come back, and they're going to keep spreading and spreading and spreading. So you may want to kind of reduce it every year, just pull out the outside ones and just keep a set size there that you maintain.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for being so nice to your neighbor. That's wonderful. I appreciate
that. What a blessing.
Isn't,
I mean, we all need to be neighbors like
isn't
Craig.
That nice? I need to give him my address. Okay, so let's go here. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And I am just pulling down. We got a lot of text messages, which is really good. Okay, so here we go. Daryl, or I'm not saying Daryl Coleman, the Earthbox lady. Can I cut back my hibiscus that is all twigs? Should I fertilize, yes or no? So cut back. Go ahead and scrape the cambium layer, that outer layer of light bark, and see where you can find green. Where you find green, then cut above that. And yes, you can go ahead and fertilize right now. Do not, okay, so I'm going to be talking about St. Augustine lawn here too, just a second. Do not fertilize your lawns, okay? Not yet, not yet. It's not a good time. All right, so let's go to, I did the lilacs. I have a rose, or anyway, winged elm. St. Augustine grass is showing green sprouts. Is there a specific care for our lawns throughout the neighborhood? No, I would just go ahead and cut it normally, water it normally one time a week. It only needs about an inch and a half of water a week. That's all you need to do. We are going to fertilize our St. Augustine lawns in the end of March, first part of April. And there's good reasons for that. So you want to make sure that you're not over-fertilizing, but March, end of March is a good time for your to fertilize your turf area, not right now. Susan in Tallahassee says, just wondering if I can remove frozen leaves from Agapanthus, Crinum, and giant walking iris, and they will still bloom this year? Yes, you can. So go ahead and you can cut those back. They may be a little bit later blooming, but yes, they'll be blooming. Excuse me. Okay, so Linda says, do any of your tours go to the Azamir Flower Market? Not this year, but it is beautiful. She thought when she visited it, she had died and gone to heaven. So we are glad you didn't, and it is a lovely, lovely tour. I have a couple. I don't know where you live or name. I have an absolutely beautiful Monstera plant. It's going up my oak tree and all around the oak tree, and now it's brown and black. So do I have to have it all pulled down or all pulled up and just keep trimming on it? Thank you so much. My husband and I sit and enjoy your show every Saturday morning. Well, this is great. No, you don't have to pull it out. What I would do is cut off all the brown leaves. Leave the stems, the vines attached to the trunk of the oak tree. Not a problem. Go ahead and leave it attached. It will sprout new leaves. Not a problem. Okay? 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's see. I think I have all of the text messages. We can take phone calls. Harold in West Melbourne. Two questions. What about boxwoods and foxtails that got hit by the freeze? And two, had I planned on laying down a pre-emergent the first weekend of February, but did not since that was the weekend of the freeze? The St. Augustine is mostly brown, but soft, not crunchy. Should I use a pre-emergent this spring or wait till fall? Thank you. I'd go ahead and put your pre-emergent down now. Okay, that's not a problem. Your boxwoods and foxtails, I would cut back the brown, the dead portions. Cut the fronds or the spears of the foxtail ferns. Cut them down to the base and let them still keep the green, the nice green ones still going. It'll recover. Not a problem. And I think that's it. Okay, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So you want to... roses can be trimmed back right now. You can go ahead. This is the perfect month to be growing roses. January and February are the perfect months to do that. You want to make sure your roses are on Fortuniana rootstock, or Dr. Huey. Okay, those are the ones that are the most nematode resistant and do the best here in Florida. So the roses in England and in France and Europe, they're 400 years old. And how do they get them to live so long? And here, roses usually last between 5 and 12 years, 5 to 12, 10 years or so. And then they have to be, they start to succumb to disease and insects and nematodes. And that's because of our dry, sandy soils. Okay, we have the heat, we have the dry, sandy soils, and that's what nematodes love. So when you're planting your roses, what you want to do is really amend the soil very nicely with good organic material, rich and well-drained, 2 to 4 inches of organic soil. You can use peat, compost, manure, mushrooms, black cow, And you want the pH to be between 5.5 and 6.5. Okay, always full sun. They do better in full sun. Morning sun, if you only have some sun, morning sun is preferred. And then you want to make sure that you're fertilizing on a regular basis. But also to pruning your plants is important. And the pruning is important because that's going to stimulate new growth. The more new leaves you have on a rose bush, the more buds you're going to get. Now, my favorites are, and if you'll send me an email, I will send you this afternoon my favorite rose bushes. I've got handouts for them, and I will send those to you. But drifts are lovely. My heirloom roses are lovely. These are the older ones. And the David Austin roses, all just take your breath away. They're just lovely. Let's go to Bill in Lake Placid. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I'm in South Central Florida. I have very sandy soil, very sandy, and I'm growing pineapples, which I do get pineapples every, I don't know, 18 months or so, but and they get nice and golden on the vine. They're super sweet. Everything's great, except they're the size of a grapefruit. I just use a regular, basic, general organic fertilizer. How could I get bigger pineapples?
I would go ahead, and so do you amend the soil at all?
Not really. I mean, I just keep it clean and weed-free and just use the regular fertilizer.
Okay, and are they in full sun?
Specific fertilizer.
Okay, are they in full sun?
About 90%, 85, 90% sun.
Okay, because that would help. Full sun, 8 to 10 hours a day would be great because they'll grow more that way. But make sure you just, what do you fertilize with?
And the plants are huge. The plants are some of them are very big, 4 feet, but... No, the pineapples are always small. They get golden and ripen on the vine. I got to pick them when they're small.
Yeah. You say you have to pick them when they're small?
Well, how long can I leave them on the vine once they turn golden?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's between you and the squirrels, right? That I understand that. What I would suggest is, what type of pineapple is it? And there are varieties of pineapples that you can plant that are maybe larger than some of the ones you get in the store. So I would have to see what you do, but keep on fertilizing, and that would be my main thing, is make sure that you're fertilizing on a regular basis every month.
Most of the pineapple plants I have are cut tops off of supermarket pineapples.
Okay, so I appreciate
so
that.
So they started out big.
Yeah, no, they did. But see, the next generation doesn't always do what the first one did. But I would want to say, again, what do you fertilize with and how often?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just an organic fertilizer.
That may be it. So you want to make sure you're giving them the micronutrients, too, because they not only need nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but they need the boron, they need the zinc, they need the magnesium, they need the sulfur, molybdenum, and boron. So I would start using a fertilizer that has the micronutrients in it. Follow the label. You may not be putting down enough for that size of a plant, so make sure you're going with the right proper size and amount and frequency. Okay.
Now, should he if he's looking at a box store and he's looking at like a bag, should they have like the pineapples and the tropicals on it? Is that the type?
Okay. So yeah. So no, you want to go by the name, but you also want to look at the fertilizer ingredients. That's the important part. We don't buy fertilizer by names, only because plants can't read.
Okay. Dang-gummit.
Yeah. So you want to make sure that what you're putting down is the nutrients they need, and they need the micro and the macronutrients. So. You just definitely want. I would just say that you probably are just missing that extra boost of boron and zinc and all the micronutrients that would add so much more vigor to the plant.
Well,
there you go. We're going to be right back. Thank you so much, Bill, for calling. Jerry, we're going to get to you. Julie and Kissimmee, hang on there. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back. It's Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We'd love to have your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. Hope you get out and enjoy this beautiful weekend. We're going to have a little bit of rain, but that's not going to be wash anything away. That's going to be wonderful. But it is going to be a great week to get out in the garden and just redo everything. It's a great opportunity for us. So let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Happy Valentine's Day, Jerry.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Teresa. I got questions for you on if these plants will survive. They're sort of tender.
Okay.
The red lady papaya.
Yes. It should.
That's good.
It should.
Okay.
It may lose its leaves. It may knock it back, but it should come back. How tall is it?
Oh, it's about 10 feet.
Yeah. It may get knocked back a couple of feet, but go ahead and just take the brown off of it, the dead leaves off of it, and let it and give it some fertilizer.
Oh, I will. And the mallow?
The mallow will definitely come back, yes.
Oh, and the Brazil?
The Brazil, yes, it should come back, yes. How tall is it?
Okay. Oh, it was a couple feet.
You know, that's a little iffy. It just depends on how damaged it got. But I would just scrape back the trunk or just to see what if you can find any green. If you can find green, then it should recover.
Okay. And the Norfolk Island pine, it's very small. It was new.
It was new. It's about 2 feet tall?
Yeah.
Is it pretty brown? Is it pretty brown?
Yeah, and half of it. For some reason, half of it's real brown.
Yeah, it could be windburn. I would say Norfolk Island pines do not like to be frozen at all. Usually that's when we lose them is when we get our very, you know, harsh freezes. I would just baby it and see what's going to happen. You may have another stalk come from the bottom, so start looking for that. And if it does, then I would cut off the brown portion and let the two grow together.
Okay, and the last one is peppermint, the mint.
Yeah,
that grows in the pots today.
Yeah, your mint's going to be with you forever.
It's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Trust me.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much. Let's go to Julie in Kissimmee. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Hi.
How can I help you?
I have a problem with colocasia, elephant ears. I live near the creek, and they grow along there. Somehow they blew into my pasture.
Yeah.
And, it's horrible. And they say that you can't get anything, you can't get them out without a nuclear blast. I don't know.
Yeah. I would use Brush Be Gone, but I'd be careful near the creek. I wouldn't use any kind of herbicide near the creek. You're just going to have to hand remove them. But if you remove that root system, then it's going, that's one way to do it. So I would just spend probably just a really good effort trying to get rid of as many of them as possible. They are invasive, though.
Okay. I have one other one. The foxtail you mentioned before.
Uh-huh.
Cut off. I have foxtail palms.
Okay.
And they're beautiful, and they're all brown.
Yeah, the foxtails may not survive, so they don't like cold weather at all. So
I shouldn't bother cutting the things off.
No, I mean, I would, but I would go ahead and use a fungicide on it, liquid copper fungicide. How tall is it?
Oh, they're tall.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get your landscaper to spray the top of it with your fungicide, I would do that. But you may have lost them. I would cut the brown off and see what comes up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, hon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go to John in Melbourne. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. Happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a bougainvillea that's about 7 foot high, and I trained it to grow around a trellis.
Okay.
And it looks like it's all brown and gone. I'm just wondering what you think.
I think it's going to be just fine. Go ahead and scrape it. In certain areas, you may have some dead portions of the stem, okay, the vine. I would just go ahead and scrape it back, see if you can find some green. It should recover. I will tell you, I was in St. Augustine yesterday, and they got down into the low 20s, if not teens, and those bougainvilleas looked really bad. They have no leaves left, but the stems are still green, so I think it should be okay.
That's too bad. I was hoping you were saying that thing is dead, gone, carried out, rattle out of the ground and get rid of it.
You can get rid of it if you want
to. That was a twist.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then normally I was calling like, oh, I'm going to miss it. And he's like, no.
He wants to get rid of it.
Yeah,
no, you know, well, bougainvilleas have such long thorns, not prickles. They have thorns. And so they're really kind of brutal to have, you know. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Jean from Palm Bay, she said, Teresa, I'm enjoying your Saturday morning radio show. And she said, with the freeze and terrible weather we've had in Palm Bay, the top section of many bushes and even trees all have brown dead leaves. The color is a lovely burnt orange, but even so, I'm wondering when the best time would be to trim them back and get rid of the dead branches and leaves. So, Jean, go ahead, prune your little heart out. You can go ahead and cut them back, cut it back down to where it is green, and they will be just fine. You can go ahead and fertilize it with a slow-release fertilizer. It'll be just fine. And then Maureen in Merritt Island, she says, how long do we need to wait to prune our plants that appear to have been damaged by 3 nights of freezing temperatures? And she says she's got copper leaf, hibiscus, palms. Go ahead and cut them back, all right? If you are cutting your palms, though, make sure you are sterilizing your tools before you go to another palm tree. Please do that, okay? Be very clean with your tools when you are trimming. Think of surgery and think of how doctors have to sterilize their tools before they go from one surgery to the next, one patient to the next. You got to do the same thing with palm trees. Very, very important. And so then Robert says, I have two Hawaiian plumerias that were about 7 to 8 years old. After the last freeze, I kept cutting them back to find milky blood. Ew. Got nothing but clear all the way down to the ground. Will they come back? Sadly, if they've melted like that, Robert, they are probably not going to survive. What I would do is see how much of it you can find that has sturdy tissue, strong tissue, that you can cut a portion of it and try and replant it. So I would definitely do that. All right. We're going to be right back with the last 15 minutes of the show. You're welcome to call 1-888-455-2967. You can text 23680. Newsletter is going out this weekend, I promise. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And you can always listen to the iHeart podcast later on. Just Google Teresa Watkins, iHeart Radio, and Better Lawns and Gardens, and I come right up. Let's go to Rob in Christmas. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Are you the Rob that we've been talking in emails?
Yeah, well, no, I haven't emailed you. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about my plumeria that's 10 foot tall and 10 foot wide.
Yes.
And I my heart was breaked if it just died. So I did a bad thing.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
I put the sprinkler on it overnight for 2 nights. And I had beautiful, beautiful ice sculptures in my yard. People are stopping to take pictures. But it looks like it survived, except for a few little, like, 6 or 8 inch pieces where it didn't get the water. They're soft, but the rest of it is good and sturdy. Do I cut those off?
Yeah, cut the soft pieces off. That would be fine. I would never recommend putting the irrigation on, but you got through there by the grace of God, and angels, your guardian angels were watching over you.
Yeah, I know it increased my water bill by $20, but it was worth it, I guess. No. But I thank you
Just go ahead and cut off the mushy parts and let me know how it goes.
Okay. Do I don't do anything after I cut them off?
Nope.
To the living part? All right.
Nope. It'll be fine. Just let it heal over. It'll be fine.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Thank you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So we recommend that you should fertilize with roses mid-February to mid-November every month. Okay, fertilize with a slow-release fertilizer, Follow the label instructions, but if you're using just regular rose fertilizer, once a month between mid-February to mid-November, South Florida, you can fertilize year-round on your roses, and that will be fine. You can apply 1 cup of fertilizer per plant, or 1 cup or 1/2 cup bimonthly, and then you go ahead and your larger bushes, you can fertilize a little bit more. Your smaller bushes, a little bit less. So you just kind of take it into consideration the size. Let's go to Thompson in Orlando. Good morning, Thompson.
Good morning. Good morning, Teresa. I'm calling in regard to my Jatropha tree.
Yes.
Got a lovely tree. Oh, I had a lovely tree. almost full maturity. It's about 12 feet high and 12 feet in diameter, but it's taking a big hit.
Yes. Okay, so is how all the leaves, are they droopy?
Yeah, all droopy, yeah, all brown.
Okay, so kind of describe the tree. Is it just a tree all the way up, or do you have leaves all the way down, and it's a shrub, tall shrub?
No, I've got a trunk. It goes up about 3 feet, and then it branches out. Mm-hmm. Got a lovely shape to it.
Wonderful. I would just wait until the brown leaves fall off, see what you have, and then go ahead and just trim it back. So it'll be just fine.
How far should it trim back to?
You can trim anything by a third without stressing it out too much. Okay. So, and you're in Orlando, so we're not going to get any more cold weather. So I would just trim it back by a third. And then if you need to trim it again, or let it flush out and trim it again in midsummer, early August, and then that way it'll be hardened off before the next winter. Okay. It should be fine.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking. It's so nice. And so let's go to, or we'll just wait here just for a second. Let me tell you this, pruning. Here's what you should do. The major pruning for roses consists of shortening the main canes and lateral branches in early spring. That's end of February, first part of March. You can do that right now. You want to remove the twigs and canes that are dead, diseased, injured, or spindly. And then you want to cut the main canes that are 1 to 3 years old by at least half their length. So look at your pinky. And so the size of the canes determine, or the age of the cane determine the size, and usually they're pretty thick at 1 to 3 years old. You can cut those by at least half the width. Go ahead and take it down. Then after you prune it, you can expect flowers between 8 and 9 weeks. So if you're having parties or anything like that, you can kind of estimate when you need to cut your roses back so that they're all in full bloom for your event. If needed, you can prune it again in August, but then in August, you only want to cut it back by a half to one third of the growth. And then certain rose bushes, you don't need to trim at all. You know, they do just fine. Just every time they bloom, after every flush, deadhead them back and they will just pop out again. Now, the drift roses are the nice, lovely ones. They're small. They only get to be about 2 feet high, 2 feet wide. They do not need to be deadheaded to rebloom. I just think they look better, because rather than seeing all the spent buds, I just like to piddle around in the garden and just trim those back and let them flush back out again. They do not need it, though, to rebloom. So they're really low care, easy maintenance, beautiful colors. Let's go to Carol in Oviedo. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Oh, thank you. I've been listening to you for years, but I've never called. You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got... It's so sad. My St. Augustine, I live in a zero lot line neighborhood, zero lot, not a lot of grass, but grass. It's St. Augustine, and it looks, honestly, it looks like ramen noodles. It's just crunchy and weird and brown. And I didn't hear the whole show, but I heard you say pre-emergent and organic material, and we should mow and water. And I don't know if there's anything else I can do, any ironite or anything. And then if we have time, I have a quick second question.
But yeah,
that's that one.
Okay, so real quick, just go ahead and mow it and water it like normal. Once a week watering, mow it when you start to see new growth on it next time. So, once every couple of weeks right now during the wintertime is all it mows. Let it recover. You're just going to take off this dead grass over the next month or so. And so then you can go ahead. You want to fertilize your St. Augustine in late March, first part of April, not before then. You don't want to encourage fungus growth.
You did say we can put down a pre-emergent now. And
if you have weeds, yeah, sure. If you have weeds, yeah. If you have weeds right now, you can go ahead and put down a pre. Or if you're going to get weeds, you know you're going to get spring weeds. Go ahead and put a pre-emergent down now. Yes.
And then some black cow, you said organic material.
Organic material, you can add it on to it. What you have really, Vita's got really good soil. So, you know, do you have...
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, really rich soils in Oviedo. But if you want to add putting the black cow on top of it, yeah, spreading it out, that would be fine.
Okay, and then real quick, if you have it, I'm moving to Tallahassee. My daughter lives there. I lived in my house 29 years. That's why I need my lawn to get good, because I'm trying to sell it.
Yep.
But I want to bring all my potted plants. Will they have trouble up there? I've got plumerias.
If you plant them outside, yes. If you're planting them inside, you definitely want to make sure that you take them in.
No potted.
That's what I'm saying. You want to make sure that you take them in, even if they're on the patio in Tallahassee. It could get cold enough on your patio if it's a screen.
But they'll be fine up there, the transition and everything.
Sure,
no big deal.
Sure. They'll be fine.
Okay.
And just make sure you cover them in the wintertime. Make sure you move them to the garage or depending on how cold it gets.
Yeah, it's mighty cold up there compared to here.
It is. It's a big, big world of difference. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thanks for everything you do. And I told Lizzie I'd love to hear about her turkey. So
yeah,
take
don't
care. Have a good day.
All right, you too, Carol. Thank you so much.
And just so she knows, she can take us with her when she goes to Tallahassee. You can go to betterlawns.com and either listen to the recap or you can search on all your devices. If you search Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins, you'll be able to find us there.
That's it. And so I wanted to give a couple of more information or some little tidbits about roses. So black spot is very prevalent here in Florida. Black spot, Cercospora, leaf spot is the disease issues. It comes from overhead watering and the humidity here in Florida. It's just the state that we have diseases because humidity, the heat, and the plants that are susceptible to these diseases. And so the best way not to get black spot is to make sure you're not getting overhead irrigation. It's one thing about the rainfall. We can't help the rainfall. But if you're irrigating over your roses and those leaves stay wet in the middle of the night, they're going to get black spot. And that is really a really sad thing because then the leaves drop. And those spores go into the ground, and then the next time it rains or the next time it irrigates, it splatters back up onto the new leaves. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle. So one, you can use a 3-in-1 bio-advanced where it keeps the disease issues from happening and insect issues from happening. And I find that works very effectively here in Florida for your roses, and it fertilizes at the same time. But you also then, too, make sure your roses are spaced far enough apart that they don't splatter on each other. Okay, when they're really close together and there's lack of air circulation, those roses are going to be more susceptible to diseases. Two, you want to make sure you clean up all of the diseased leaves. You want to pick them up off the ground. You want to be very healthy, very clean in your garden when you have disease issues. You don't want it spreading or being there for the next plant. And that it'll be helpful if you make sure that you clean up and pick up after when the leaves fall off that have the spores, because the spores still carry the disease and can spread very easily. Lizzie, thank you so much. We've had a busy day.
Yes, we have. Our listeners, you guys are the best, and you make our job fun. So thank you for that.
If you would like to have my list of roses and some rose care tips and my list of fragrant roses that I love, you can go ahead and email me at teresa.watkins@live.com. Thank you so much to all of our callers. Happy Valentine's Day. Check out the 29th Orlando Orchid and Flower Plant Sale today at the Orlando Garden Club on Rollins Street here in Orlando. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show, you can go back and recap it at betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com. And you can send your emails to Teresa, without an H, teresa.watkins@live.com.